Thank you, young ladies. What a blessing that was. Appreciate that. What a great, great song, Higher Ground, and a great truth. We're talking in my Sunday school class. We're going through the book of Ephesians. We already decided we're going to go slow, just like Revelation. We're going to take our time and finish it in heaven if we need to. But whenever we get to verse 3, we started like a month ago. We're not at verse 3 yet, but whenever we get to verse 3, we're going to talk about being in heavenly places, and that's what they just sang about, higher ground. You can, you know, Paul talked about being in the heavenlies. What's he talking? He's talking about here on earth, but he was, you've heard of being on cloud 9? Well, he was higher than that. That's walking with God. You walk with God, you feel like you got a little touch of heaven, and that's higher ground, and don't leave it once you get there. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise the Lord for that. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13, we'll begin reading at. We're going to cover this passage of Scripture, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and yet one that I believe will help us tonight. And really, my last point tonight is a conversion. It ends with a conversion. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar, God has dealt with him. God has spoken to his heart. But it took three young men. It took three young men to stand. Are you listening? Somebody's got to stand, folks, honestly. The hope of our nation, is we're not going to change it by how we vote. Now, we need to vote right, but that ain't going to change the nation, okay? We need to ask God how to vote and vote right and all of that, but that won't change the nation. You say, well, if we had the right people in office, that won't change the nation either. We need to have God's people's heart right, and we need to see people saved. That will change the nation. And somebody's going to have to stand. Somebody is going to have to do what's right. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do that. And so it's a great illustration. I'm just going to go through this passage, talk about some of the things that I think are true about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this story, ending with our last point. I won't tell you what number it is, but our last point, which is conversion, and where really Nebuchadnezzar's life has been changed, and I believe he was converted. And you know, you want your neighbor to get saved, you want your coworkers to get saved. Better yet, you want mom and dad to get saved. You want brother and sister to get saved. You want those loved ones to get saved. It is not going to be by inconsistency and wimping out. It's going to be by saying, you know what? Thus saith the Lord. I believe the word of God, and I'm going to stick with it. Change is not going to save them. They're not, in fact, they don't admire. Lost people don't admire change as much as they admire standing. Amen. Do you know how many lost people come by our tent every year? And they're lost. And they will tell you they're lost. And they say, well, we see you're still at it. Really? You mean they're watching? I don't think they say that to the French fry guy. Amen. I don't think they say that to the elephant ear guy. But you know what? They're watching us. And they may say, nah, I'm not, I don't want that, I don't want to hear. But they're watching. Yes, sir. You know what? We just need to keep going. They're watching our buses. You people, you still running buses? Yeah, we're still running buses. Amen. You know, Shadrach, I'm preaching before I preach. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've entitled this, I gave it two titles. One is A Lesson in Christian Character. Another one is Seeing is Believing. I think the world needs to see before they believe. They're going to have to see something that's real. You know, today, the King James Bible's under attack. People don't know where the Word of God is. They don't have any idea. The average Christian, if you said, do you know where, do we have the Word of God? The average Christian would probably say to you, yeah, I'm not real sure. You know, we go to our church, and they would say, we go to our church, and we, you know, this guy reads out of this book, and this guy reads out of this book, and this guy reads out of this book, and people are just confused. Yes, sir. Somebody's got to say, this is the truth. Amen. And I'm going to stand, no matter what that means, no matter what it costs. And seeing is believing. Daniel 3, verse 13, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, If ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's Nebuchadnezzar asked that question. What would be your answer? What would be your answer? Well, I'd tell him, but what would you do? See, that's the key. Their answer was not just what they said, it's what they did. Father, I pray you bless now and speak to our hearts through this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we know that we have it. We can know. You said that you would give it to us, and thank you for it. We need it, and we need this passage tonight, so use it in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. That question in verse 15, one thing we will see from it is we'll see character. We're going to see, as far as that question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? We're going to see the character of young men who prove who that God is by their lives. But not only that, we're also going to see the effect of their character in the life of an unbeliever. I don't know of any. Nebuchadnezzar has built an image, and it's an image basically representing him. He wants them to worship that image, and they say, we can't do it. That's not God. We're not going to worship an image. We're going to worship our God. And again, well, then who is that God? And they're going to show him that God by their lives, by their stand, by their words, but also by what they do. And so really, you know, that character, somebody said, and I believe I heard this in college years and years ago, character is what it takes to stop you. There's your character right there. What's it take to stop you? Because if this stops them, then I think we have a whole different story of Nebuchadnezzar. I think it all ends totally different. But they had character. And because of their character, an unbeliever saw the truth, and I believe his life was changed. So several things I want to show you. Number one, I show you companionship. Companionship. You'll notice here in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we. You might want to circle that in your Bible, we. You might want to underline it. You might want to put a star beside it. You might want to put a line out there. And we see here companionship. You know what? They answered as one. That is so important. They answered as one. You know, one of the reasons why the world is so confused is because we have people that are claiming to be Christians, but they're not answering the same way that it's written in the Bible. Their answer is not consistent. It's not showing that, hey, there is unity. Obviously, our church, it ought to be that way. If somebody says, how do you get saved? We ought to all answer as one and give the same answer. It shouldn't be confusing. It shouldn't be an odd thing. If somebody said, hey, what's the Word of God? We ought to all answer as one. We have the King James Bible. That is the Word of God. It shouldn't be a scattering of answers. Well, you know, diversity is good. Not in the body of Christ, it's not. Right. Not in the local church, it is not good. Diversity is not good. My Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, be ye all of one mind. It is good to know that there are many here who have the knowledge, Bible knowledge, and the character to stand and answer as one. It's so hard today with everybody compromising. So many are compromising. So many are waffling on the Bible and the Word of God and on salvation and on the virgin birth. And so many are changing their beliefs. It makes it very confusing to a lost world. Well, if they change their mind about this, I wonder if their salvation isn't what they said it is. I wonder if you have to do something else in order to really be saved. Companionship, answering as one, unity. You know, I've said this so many times, and I continue to repeat it. If the Holy Spirit tells me something, he's going to tell Daryl the same thing. If, by the way, if the Holy Spirit tells Daryl something, he's going to tell Phyllis the same thing. We are not, there is no way in this world that the Holy Spirit, now it may have something to do with something else, but on the same thing, if the Holy Spirit speaks to me, he's going to tell Tim the same thing. Now, the Holy Spirit may not tell us what color this ought to be or that ought to be. That may not be the Holy Spirit dealing in that. The Holy Spirit may not tell us what teams to like or not to like. In fact, I don't think the Holy Spirit cares. And therefore, Tim may like different teams than I like, which he does. And anyway, the Holy Spirit on Bible truth, he doesn't tell us different things. You know, Brother Chase and I, we need to be on the same page, don't we, Brother Chase? You ought to be able to go to Brother Chase and ask him a Bible question, and I'm talking about a Bible doctrine question, and he gives an answer, and come to me and I give the same answer. And go to Brother Dave, and he gives the same answer. Go to Brother Tim, he gives the same answer. And all the way down, all the way, or maybe if somebody, well, I'm not sure, but I'll find out. Amen. We're going to come up with the same answer, and the world is not going to be confused. They said, we are not careful. We will answer as one, we're together. You know, God's people in this day, that's why the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approach. That's because as it gets worse and worse, we better be together. Because I'm telling you, it totally confuses the world when we're not together on Bible truth. Number one, companionship. Number two, I see consistency. I see consistency. You'll notice here, the second part of verse 16, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful. Why is that? They knew the answer because of consistency. They didn't have to pause. They didn't have to stop and think about it. They didn't have to say, let me consult my commentary. They didn't have to say, well, let me call the Christian radio station. They were consistent in their lives. They didn't have to think about it. There wasn't anything to think about. Hey, here's the whole idea. We have never worshipped an idol. We are not going to worship an idol now. And no matter what you do, King, we are going to be consistent in what we've always believed. And we're going to stick with it. We're not careful to answer thee. You know, reading that and not really looking at it, you wonder, why'd they say they're not careful? Shouldn't they ponder that thing? No, they're consistent. They've never bowed down to an idol. Not going to now. What is there to reconsider, folks? Why should we reconsider our position on the King James Bible? Why should we reconsider our position on salvation? Why should we reconsider our position on separation? It's always been, well, you know, preacher, we're becoming the minority. Well, praise God. So what? Why reconsider? Who do you think they were? As everybody is bowing down and they're not bowing down. Oh, I know the pseudo-Baptists were there, and instead of bowing down, they sneezed maybe, achoo, and they hoped everybody thought they were bowing down. Well, we didn't really. Ha ha ha, we fooled them. You're a coward, a wimp, a sissy, and you're false. You know what? Here's what you do. You just stand straight. You don't even look like you're bowing. You don't even curtsy. Amen? If something falls, don't pick it up now. Amen. Take your stand. They said, we've never, never worshipped an idol. And you know what? We're not careful. We already know the answer. Don't have to vote on it. Shadrach, what do you think? Well, I don't know, Meshach. What do you think? Well, Abednego, you know, maybe you have your opinion. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe we should call dial a prayer and get them. Yeah, come on. No, we don't have to do any of that. Bless God. We're going to just take the same stand we always took. Consistency. We need to be consistent, folks. We need to be consistent in our church attendance. Amen. Folks, start missing. You know, you start missing. Start missing. Well, again, you know, that is a problem where you're not, if we're not consistent, you just keep missing. You know, as our kids were growing up, they never had to ask, are we going to church tonight? Well, you're the pastor. No. That's the way it ought to be in every home. Kids should never ask if we're going to go to church or not. We have church. Doors are open. Of course we're going to church. Amen. That's how it ought to be. That's how it used to be. Come on. That's how it used to be. I mean, that's how Christians always were. But now, you know, television's more important. Now, whatever's going on in the world is more important. Now, this is going on, and that is going on, and we need to be consistent. We don't have to wonder about it. You know, we don't have to tithing the same way and giving same way. It's just you just do it every week, all the time. Every week, every week, every week, every week. You know, it shouldn't be, honey, are we tithing this week? Come on, what are you talking about? That's not anything to ask. Sir, if your wife has ever had to ask that question, pity your noodle backbone. Consistency. You just, every week, every week, every week. First time we tithed, I'll never forget it. I worked at RCA, she worked at the Chamber of Commerce. I'm thinking it was $35 or $40. And it was the hardest thing in my whole life, honestly. As a Christian, it was like, wow. You know, and she wrote the check and she took it and put it in an envelope and she gave it to me. And I'm not sure if we used an envelope. Maybe you just wrote the check. Anyway, and I put it in the plate and I held on to the plate and held on to the check. It was hard. I'm telling you, it was hard. And that's a lot of money to me. I mean, we were amazed. And you know, and I handed it over here and the usher tried to take it and I pulled it back. You know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute here. And I remember they took that plate and passed that plate, and I kept watching. I turned around and looked, and I'm watching that money go. And Tim, I'm telling you, not one day, not one week, have we failed to put our tithe in that plate since that day as a young Christian couple we started tithing. Not one time have we failed. Never. It just doesn't happen. The tithe, and by the way, it's more than a tithe. Now, I'm not saying that to get a pat on the back. I'm just saying, why do you do it? We don't even talk about it. Our lives as Christians ought to be doing right and never not revoking on it. Amen. Amen. You just do it. I'm just going to keep doing it. Same thing with talking to folks about the Lord. You just keep doing it. Giving out tracts, it should be automatic. Your arm ought to always just reach for wherever those tracts are and pull them out and get them out everywhere you go. You ought to be ready to give tracts out and be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always. Just automatic. But you know, that first time you, then it's the second time you, then it's the third time you, and then it's the fourth time. And pretty soon you never say a word about the Lord. We need to be consistent, folks. Number one, companionship. Number two, consistency. Number three, courage. Courage. I love it. I love it. You look at the situation. They're about to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Bow down or be thrown in the fiery furnace. I'm talking about a real fiery furnace. You know, we talk big. We really do. Well, bless God, if that comes to me, I'm going to take my stand for the Lord. I don't know, boy, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, being thrown in a fiery furnace bothers me. Let's be honest, it bothers you too. I mean, they're showing this, all these things of Islam and whacking people's heads off. That offends me. I've grown very attached to my head. And it offends me. It honestly does. Brother Glenn, honestly, I you know, we talk a big get, we're so tough. And yet in my mind, I wonder if some dude is holding one of those samurai sword things and I'm going to bend over here and knowing my head's going to roll at your feet and you'd kick it. You would, wouldn't you? And then you'd want my tie. You'd hope you'd get my tie. Always grabbing my... But anyway, and I'm going to bow down here and they're going to whack off my... And I'm just going to just hold on to it. There's courage there. I'm amazed how many Christians, you know, I'm serious. I'm so amazed how many Christians, well, bless God, I'm going to stand for Jesus. And you won't even quit cussing. Mom, good. You know, I'm going to take my stand, but you won't even listen to the right music. How are you going to take a stand? How are you going to take a stand? You won't even witness for the Lord at work. Come on, it's time we get some backbone and courage and not worry about what everybody thinks. And take our stand. I'm telling you, so many would compromise rather than be thrown in that fiery furnace. I'm serious about that. We need people to stand. Daniel stood. He stood. Well, you're going to go to the lion's den. And then I'm going to be the head of the lion's club. Because that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to throw me in. Amen. We know the story. And because we know the story, we say, bless God, that's what I would do. I know, but you're not, you don't know the end of the story. When the guy with the sword cuts up, you like your head. I was reading in Revelation, studying that, and those guillotines. Guillotines don't excite me. There's just something about that bothers me. And it ought to bother all of us. It's going to be people that have courage that stand. I don't know if that'll ever happen to you and I, but I guarantee one thing, the world's watching. And they want to see, do you really believe what you say you believe? If you won't stand up for Jesus, if you won't stand up for right, if you won't stand, when somebody's cursing your God and using God's name in vain, you won't stand up and say, sir, that's my God. That is my Lord and Savior. Don't use his name like that. You say, oh man, that's the truth. Courage, companionship, consistency, courage. Then number four is consecration. Talked about that this morning. Consecration. Look what they said. Verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve. See it? Our God, whom we serve. They wanted to make it very, very clear. Okay, you have your God, your little g God. Our God, whom we serve. They're consecrated. This morning, the key with Joseph, day by day by day by day by day, taking his stand against a temptation that was a very difficult temptation, but every day he stood, every day he said no to the temptation, the lust perhaps that could have been going on. Every day he stood, because every morning, I believe, he got up and he said, I am thine, O Lord. I commit my life to you. I am yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm yours. And they said very clearly, our God whom we serve. He is theirs. Whom we serve, they are his. Consecration. Whose are you? Is he yours? Are you his? That's consecration. Setting apart your life for him. Their mind was set upon his will, not my will, but thine. What was it Jesus said? Those are his words. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus didn't want to die on a cross, but he had to die on a cross. It was the will of the Father. It had to happen, or we all die and go to hell. Oh, listen to me. There's a lot of unpleasant things in this world that we have to stand. I can remember, I was thinking as I was going through this, just thinking about some of the times we had to stand. We just had to stand for right. We decided our home is the Lord's, and we weren't going to let anybody smoke in our home. And all my family smoked. And I remember the first time telling Dad, you can't smoke in my house. What? What are you talking about? Where's the ashtray? I said, we don't have any ashtrays. Well, you can't. Well, what am I going to do? I said, Dad, you can go outside and smoke. Oh. Mom, you know, she was even worse. I don't remember what all she called me. I'm serious. Well, it's tough stuff. Tough. But he's, God, I'm yours. You're mine. I'm yours. I got to do right. I've got to do right. That's what they said. They said, our God, whom we serve, consecration. Number five is confidence. I love this. Verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Amen. Our God is able to do it. They had no question about that. They had confidence. No doubt about it. Paul in 2 Timothy said, he's able to keep that which I committed unto him. That's why you should never have any doubt about your salvation as long as you did what he said to do. Right. Amen? As long as, did you call upon Jesus to forgive you and save you from your sin and take you to heaven, did you do that? Then you never have to worry. He is able to keep that which I committed. Well, what about when I falter? That isn't the issue. He's able to keep that which you committed. He is able to keep it. Well, I'm not able. You don't have, it's not up to you. It's up to him. You do what he said. It's up to him to do it. Amen. That's confidence. He is able. Hebrews says he's able to save to the uttermost. But we need to have that confidence. We have so many squeamly Christians nowadays. That's a word I invented years ago. I'm going to bring it back. Squeamly. What's that? It's noodle like a backbone. It's generic cookies dipped in milk and they break off. It's milk sop. It's jello backbone. Amen? Squeamly. And it's because we just don't really know whether he will. I don't know. I hope he does. I don't know. Where is the confidence of God's people in their God? Where is our knowledge and knowing? He is able. He is able. I know he is able. I know my God is able to carry me through. Where is it? Why aren't we singing it? Why don't we believe it? Why don't we live it? Instead, it's kind of like, well, I hope so. Well, I hope so. I'm really scared because I hope so. You're not going to stand. They ought to rename churches Squeamly Baptist Church. Amen. But here's what I really like what they say. And every time I read this, I just love it because they are just so confident. Notice what else it says. He says he's able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. But watch what they said. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Don't you love that? I love that. It's right on that edge of being just almost cocky. Because King, you have no power over us. Well, wait a minute now. What if they burn up? Then they're out of the King's hand. They're ashes. You say, well, that isn't good. Oh, they're in heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're all right. Said, he'll either get us out of the furnace or he'll take us on to heaven. King, you have no control. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what, folks? If you and I would just tell the devil every now and then, you have no control. Amen. Amen. I know we want to look around. Well, what about the government? They have no control. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pay my taxes. Jesus paid his. I'm going to obey the laws. Jesus obeyed the laws. But when it comes to doing what my God says to do, they have no control. They'll cut off your head. Okay, then I'm free. Are y'all listening? I like my head. My neck enjoys my head. I'm just saying they have no control. That's what it's confidence. Well, I don't know about that. He will deliver us out of thine hand, one way or the other, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I gotta admit to you, it's an exciting thought to be in that furnace with Jesus. It is. But they could have gone poof. They could have. They could have been fried gizzard. Amen. But I'm just, you know what? I mean, honestly, but they'd be with the Lord. And that's okay. That's okay. Number one, I said there's companionship. Number two, there's consistency. Number three, there's courage. Number four, there's consecration. Number five, there's confidence. Number six, here's our word, conviction. Conviction. Now here's what it is. Notice what it says. Okay, if it be so, verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. But notice what he said. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Convictions. If not, we will not. Whether we're delivered, whether we're not delivered, if we burn up, we burn up. If we don't, we don't. Doesn't matter, because we're not serving your gods. Period. Exclamation point. Period. Done. Amen. I've often said you ought to be willing to die for your convictions. We need to understand convictions and preferences. We sometimes struggle with some of these things. Some things we prefer, some things we're convicted about. The Bible being the inspired Word of God and the King James Bible being the Bible, I'm convicted about that. I'm convicted about that. Nobody's going to say, you have to get up in front of your congregation and tell them the Bible's not the Word. I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to cut my tongue out. We're not at that point. Others have been. Salvation by grace through faith, you can't mess with that. I'll die for that. I'm not changing that. I will not tell somebody something different. Jesus born of a virgin, I'll not tell anybody anything different. The deity of Christ, I'm not preaching anything but that. The second coming of Christ, I'm preaching that he's coming. And he's coming in the clouds, as in the rapture, and he's coming to the earth at the battle of Armageddon. And he's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. I won't preach anything else. You're going to have to let a homosexual in the pulpit over my dead body. Amen. Yeah, I know. Wow. That's what I say. The fact that anybody would ever even suggest that we would have to do something like that, whether it's a homosexual, whether it's an adulterer, whether it's a blasphemer or whatever, you don't get behind our pulpit. Amen. Amen. Well, you got to cut the message. I'm not cutting the message. You know, you got to quit offending. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just preaching the Word of God. If it offends, it offends. Amen. I'm not trying to. You know, I used to say spanking our kids, that's a conviction. Why? Because God said to do it. Dave's a little old to spank, though he's needed a few here lately. But You know, folks, you say, but preacher, things have changed. My Bible hadn't changed, though. Those are things that don't change. Maybe the government changed. I think you ought to be smart about it. If I were you, I wouldn't spank your kids in the store anyway. We didn't do that. Amen. Take them home. Deal with them at home. That's where it ought to be dealt with anyway. But I'm just saying, I don't think you ought to make a scene. I've never said you ought to make a scene. I get frustrated. And by the way, you should never slap your kids in the face. God gave them a perfect spot to be spanked on. Nerve endings all over the place there. They just all get together right there, and they all gather, and they send shock waves to the rest of the system. By the way, timeouts don't send shock waves anywhere. But a good old-fashioned paddle will. Man, I'm having a good time with this, to be honest with you. But there are some preferences that we all have, you know. There are some preferences that we have, and we don't have to get into all those kind of things, you know. We may prefer not eating in a restaurant. There was a day I would have said, I'm not going to eat in a restaurant that serves alcohol, but then I had to go into a store that sold alcohol. Because every store sold alcohol. There was one store down in Pensacola. Remember that? One store, and we always went there. And then they started selling alcohol. And now we weren't buying alcohol. We were buying food in a store that sold alcohol. Now, Mrs. Rogers may have. I don't know. But I never did. But you know what? I don't want to be around alcohol. I don't want to be around. I stayed away from the craft beer area of the fair. I don't want to be around. I don't want to smell it. Don't want somebody to burp it in my face. Amen. 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 I don't want to be around it. I'm not going to say that I'd die for that. I mean, if somebody wants to burp it in my face, I'm not sure. I just don't like it. I don't like to be around cigarette smoke. I just don't want to be around it. I can't breathe. It's a problem for me. Now I'm not going to smoke myself. But again, if I get a chance to witness somebody and they smoke. And it happens all the time. You know, they hold their hand behind their their back and smoke starts rising up and you know. But again, we've got to decide on our convictions, what we'll die for, and be ready. We are a convictionless lot of Christians today. Just no conviction. It just sways here. My Bible says be rooted and grounded. Know what you believe and stick with it. I'm so tired of squeamly people changing day after day after day. Whatever way the wind blows, they'll go that way. Convictions. Amen. Contempt is number 7. By the way, there's always going to be hatred for what you stand for. It's just, you just might as well face it. In verse 19, it amazed me every time I read this. Then, when they said, "We will not, we will not, we will not," then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. They're going to heat it 7 times hotter than the manufacturer said it should be. Now I promise you this. And you know, if you're maybe you're a scholar and you want to dig into this a little bit, but I believe that at the top heat, it would have fried him. Why 7 times hotter than what it's supposed to be heated? Because he was mad. Was he ever mad? He had a contempt for them taking a stand for their God. And he commanded the most mighty men. We're not talking about the wimps. We're talking about the most mighty men that were in his army to bind. Yeah, any soldier could have taken Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't soldiers. They weren't, you know, I'm sure they weren't wimps, but they weren't big, strong. He commanded the most mighty men to bind them and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Oh, he's so mad. I don't think they'd even had to tie him up. You know, just throw him in there, big boys. The biggest, strongest. Oh, but look what happened. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, yeah, 7 times hotter than the manufacturer recommended, the flame of the fire slew those men. His mighty men, the most mighty men. Now they're crispy critters. It's just amazing, just because he's angry. Isn't that amazing? His contempt for these men taking a stand for God, it was so great, it cost him his mighty men. They burned up as they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into there. By the way, that proves that the fire really was real. And it was real hot because they didn't go in. They were just at the mouth of the furnace. And it burned them up. Yeah. Contempt. So many unbelievers have contempt for those who take a stand for God. By the way, a lot of worldly Christians have a contempt too. I'm just saying, folks, you got to understand things that you say, yeah, but they're mad at me. I'm amazed at how many people get mad at somebody because they do right. Why are you mad? I know of parents. I'm thinking of somebody right now. Parents, they got mad because their children took a stand for right. You're embarrassing me. You're taking your stand. You're embarrassed. Why are you doing that? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you like them? Oh, them? Who are out messing around immorally with other people, who are out listening to their rap and their rock and all that kind of stuff. You mean you'd rather, because they're taking a stand for doing right, dressing right, looking right, acting right, talking right, you're embarrassed at them, and the other one acts like a harlot, and you're not. You know what it's just that contempt right there. It's just that contempt. It blows my mind. And it is why Jesus made it so clear, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I don't think you ought to want it. I don't think you ought to look for it. I think you ought to just be that light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. That's right, Steve. Let it shine. Just let. That's what we have to. You say, "Oh, that's a kid song." That's an adult life. Amen. Just about done. The number eight thing is confusion. Confusion. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now the other guys that threw them in, they're all burnt up. They went poof. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." By the way, what else would you tell the king? And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four." Don't you love that? "I see four men loose." And key word there is the word loose. Remember what they said? "We're free from you, king. You can put ropes on us. The ropes burn. They're loose. We see," I love it, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Not nary a hair singed." I'll be grilling sometimes, get that grill real hot, you know, because you ought to have it real hot when you throw that meat on there. Amen. Get it real hot. And I'll open up that thing, and it's so hot, and I go, whew, and hairs singe on the arm. And I say, "Whoa!" And then I always go, "Phew." It stinks. They had no stink. Not a hair was singed. No smoke got on them. Nothing. Isn't that good? And the world, as they get angry, they get confused because they can't understand this. And Nebuchadnezzar can't understand it. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, how do you know that? Well, somebody's been talking to him. Somebody gave him a track at the fair. Somebody talked to him at the store. Somebody left a track in the restroom, and he read it. Amen. Somehow, he knew and had a pretty good idea. Wow, this fourth one in there. You understand, they cannot understand. He could not understand God's care. You understand all people, lost and saved, have fiery trials. But he sees them in the midst of their fire, and they're free. They're not bound anymore. They're loose. My Bible says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Amen. You know who's bound tonight? It's the Christian who's afraid to stand. You might as well put the chains, the shackles, the whatever the binding is in your life. The best time in the world for Christ to be seen by the rest of the world is in the midst of the fiery furnace. How many of us fail in the midst of the fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar, "Hey! The fourth one there." That's like the Son of God. You know how people see Christ in your life? It's when you're going through a tough time. That's how the world sees Jesus. Even if the world is the one that puts you through that tough time. Best time ever for us to show people Jesus is in the fiery furnace. Oh, how we shrink from the fiery furnace. Oh, how we shrink away from the trial, confusion, and yet the comfort. In verse 25, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is our Lord who said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" It's Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi singing praises at midnight. Their backs are bloodied. The blood has dried perhaps, and the pus has oozed out and has crusted over their backs. And as they sing, they still can feel the pain from the whip that was on their back. And they sing praises to God in that jail. They didn't know the end of the story. I know, you and I, we know the end. They didn't know God was going to send an earthquake. They didn't know as soon as the earth started to shake that they wouldn't die in the earthquake. Yeah, they sang. and that jailer that had held the whip, he gets saved, and then he wipes and washes the sores that he had put on their backs. You want to make a difference in this world? You have the character to stand. You have the character to believe that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and let the world see Jesus in your fiery furnace. Because we come to the end, and that's number 10, and that's conversion. And as I said, we go back to verse 15 and the question that Nebuchadnezzar asked, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar, I'd like you to meet God. I'd like to introduce you to God. Nebuchadnezzar, you've seen Jesus in the furnace with us. I'd like you to meet his Father. Nebuchadnezzar, wouldn't you like to be saved? And then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. What? Did you see that? Changed the king's word. Oh. How are we going to have an impact in the United States of America? Well, I got to vote. Well, you do have to vote. That's true. But how can you have a bigger impact? Take your stand for what's right. This changed the king's word. Amen. Did you know God can do that? In the king's heart, in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whichever way he chooses. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Notice the small g God and then the large g God. No accidents in the scripture. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver out of this sort. Now, he's close. Amen. He's a new convert. That's why he made that statement. We don't really do that. But then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did that say that he promoted them? Isn't that amazing? Oh, if I take a stand, I'm going to get in trouble. I'll probably lose my job. I'll probably be... Do you serve a God or not?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. 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 It took character, doing right because it's right. It's not popular, not the most advantageous in a worldly sense, not the most sensible in a worldly sense, but it's right, and it's what God blesses, and it is what the rest of the world needs to see us do. Somebody better stand for the truth. Let's bow our heads, please.